It is the Friday show, Adam, and we're doing it on a Friday. Look at us sticking
Nailed
to
it.
our schedule. Things really lining up. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Walk Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. We have all sorts of stuff to get into today. Danny Jansen just announced this morning that he is going to miss at least the next couple of weeks. Another arm, wrist,
Goodbye,
hand type
pitch.
of injury. My goodness. So we will touch on that. We'll talk the bubble boys. Of course, when I say the bubble boys, it's the guys that are on the bubbles. Nathan Lukes, Espinal, Vogie, Joey, Horwitz, even Davis Schneider, I think is, I mean, we'll get into that, but I think even he, with having options and stuff, we could see some weird stuff happen.
If
And
I
then
say
we'll
it's the Moors, it's the Moops. Do you get the reference?
sounds
Seinfeld.
familiar.
Bubble Boy.
Seinfeld,
The
yes, the
trivia
bubble boy.
typo.
Sorry. I
It's
can't
all
believe I
good.
didn't.
That's all
It's
right.
rare.
It's early.
It's rare you miss me with a Seinfeld reference. Normally it's so funny. Mustard Tiger reached out and he was like, "How can I message Adam?" Because he constantly has so many great nerd references that you just sit there blank faced and goes right over your head that I want to congratulate him on. So
Thank you, Mustard Tiger. Josh, appreciate it.
We will talk as well. Besides the, we'll get into the home run jacket. That's back in the news. Try to stop the Toronto Blue Jays fan base from talking about the home run jacket. It's a challenge. Bowden Francis, or as I called him on Mailbag, Francis Bowden.
And that's what he's forever going to be known as now,
That's
Francis
forever.
Bowden.
Gary Gosman and Francis Bowden. He's been killing it, man. Having a heck of a spring. Reached a career high in innings pitched in a game yesterday. He pitched six innings. So we'll talk where he fits into this starting rotation, if he's going to make the starting rotation. Then we'll also update you on Alek Manoah. These two things go hand in hand. And then we'll also talk the spring breakup future showcase, which has been going on, started yesterday. And it's going to be going on over the weekend here. All of the top prospects in baseball have been accumulated into teams and are now playing each other. Kind of a cool idea. Good for Major League Baseball for actually like shining a light on some of these incredibly talented young kids that are coming up. Normally they just don't market or, do anything that would promote the game. So
They're
good on
trying.
Major League
There you go.
Baseball. They're trying. Before we talk baseball, I do wish to just put this out there, okay? I'm in Nova Scotia right now. Next Saturday, so the 23rd of March, I'm playing Breton Brewing in Sydney, Cape Breton. And everyone in this country knows or has friends in Cape Breton. And I would love it if you would spread the word. Listen, I play Breton Brewing every time I'm out here. It's always an incredible show. Ticket sales are low right now. You can get your tickets at Breton Brewing. And Laura, who runs it, she calls me every time a week before, panicked, being like, "I don't know what we're going to do. There's no tickets sold." And then it always sells out. So I still have faith, but any help you folks out there can do would be truly appreciated. Breton Brewing, March 23rd, next Saturday. Let's have some laughs. And on that, there's my 30 seconds of self-promotion,
Love
and
it.
we'll just move right into baseball
Attaboy.
from there. Okay. So 2 days ago, I sat down with Zoobs, Andrew Zoobs from Less
Boomafoo.
Than Jays. Yeah,
Oh, not Kratz
Less Than
Preachers.
Jays.
Gotcha.
No.
Okay. All right. Ringtail
Less Than
Believers.
Jays, friend of the show. We even were on the comedy scene in Toronto for a while together. Something that it took him kind of connecting the dots for me to figure out. Anyways, what they're doing is 30 minutes on the 40-man roster. It's called 30 and 40. I got to pick the guy I wanted to talk about, which was Danny Jansen, right?
You
Homegrown
jinxed
talent
them,
within the Blue
you
Jays system.
motherfucker.
I spent literally 45 minutes, Adam, with the whole thing basically being all Danny Jansen has to do is stay healthy,
You
right?
motherfucker.
Yeah, truly. Truly. We released it. So Zoobs put this out this morning, 10 minutes later. 10 minutes later, Keegan Mathieson with the update that Danny Jansen is dealing with a fracture in his hand. My God, dude. Like, Danny Jansen has been incredibly generous with his time. He's come on the podcast a couple of times now. We've talked to him about not wearing batting gloves, about not wearing the guards, the wrist pads, the elbow pads. Is it time, Adam?
I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know. Like, could he just get out of the way of a pitch, maybe?
I put on Twitter, I was like, the Danny Jansen won't wear wrist protection challenge continues. And then someone responded with, he needs to go to Kevin Biggio's house and learn how to get hit by a pitch.
Yeah, I mean, take it in the meat, buddy. Take it in the meat. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my goodness, dude. Like, the amount of broken bones he's had in his wrist and hand, like, once you hit the half dozen mark, there should be something in your brain that goes, maybe we need to adjust. And listen, I understand how important it is to feel comfortable at the plate, feel comfortable with the bat in your hand, you know, which is why he refuses to wear batting gloves. He's tried wearing batting gloves. This is something that he talked about when he was on the podcast, and it just didn't feel right. So I understand that comfort, that feel is important, but so is playing the games, right?
The best ability, I mean, there's is availability.
There's an extension on the line here, man. Like, this is, he's 29 years old. His career has been marred with injuries. I know a lot of them are bad luck, but at what point is it bad luck? And at what point do you keep getting bones broken in your wrist and need to be like,
Yeah, is it bad luck, or is it something that he has a knack for? If this was a good thing, you'd say he has a knack for it, right? Kevin Biggio has a knack for getting on base any way he can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the good news is, I think the headline sounds worse than it is in reality. Yes. Sounds like it's a small bone near his wrist. I mean, when you hear fracture,
you think it's
scary. You think he's in a cast. Yeah, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, there's a chance he's still back for opening day.
Yes. Now, I would be surprised if that's the case, but fingers crossed.
You know, 1 to 2 weeks, that takes us to the end of March. I mean,
even if he has to rehab for a week in AAA to start the season. Now, the next guy up is probably going to be Brian Cervin, who is having himself a heck of a spring, honestly, with the Jays right now. If you look at his numbers, he's hitting .313 is his batting average. I mean, small sample size, but Adam, as you constantly point out, a good small sampling size. Yeah, gotta love a good small sample size. 16 at-bats, he has 3 home runs. The guy does have some power. He's got 12 RBIs and an OPS pushing 1,400. Obviously, he is going to play second fiddle to Alejandro Kirk, maybe only getting in a game if he does need to start the season with the Blue Jays. But this is my question for you, Adam. There is a catcher on this team. Now, he didn't catch at all last year, but he did catch substantial amount of games with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Of course, I'm talking about Dalton Varsho. I know I was reading a tweet.
You're going to say Gabriel Moreno. Too soon.
I did read a tweet from Keegan Mathieson that was saying he saw him catching some bullpens this year, something he didn't do last year. Would you feel comfortable trying to maybe get Dalton Varsho into catching game shape? Or do you think leave him as be, he's gone through enough?
Here's what I'd say. Yeah, fuck it. Why not? He's a catcher.
I kind of feel that way too.
To the core, I'd say.
To the core. God.
Look, Dalton Varsho. Okay. We're kind of in a spot with our catchers where, like, Danny Jansen, final year of his deal, going to be a free agent at the end of the season. We're just piling on more injury question marks, right? Which, again, take it for what it is. It's going to be a factor come contract talks, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to say, yeah, I've missed a couple weeks here and there. Chill out. And they're going to say, yeah, but you keep missing a couple weeks here and there. So we're fucking mm-hmm. not chilling out. That's where you get your arguments between, ah, I want $12 million. And they're saying, no, we're not giving you more than eight. And then he goes, okay, well, we'll go test it out in Cincinnati then, or wherever, right? We'll go see what the rest of the market says. There's a, I don't know. We talked with Joel on the Patreon episode about Gerrit Cole. And I thought it was a really interesting conversation, by the way, about how this potential injury affects his status with the Yankees, because he has a opt-out at the end of this season, right? And how maybe the injury, if he does miss the whole season, is less likely to take the opt-out than he would have been, right? Yes. We don't have to rehash that whole thing. Go check it out on the Patreon Wednesday episode if you want to see that. But Danny Jansen, I think with this injury, I don't want to say it moves the needle a lot, but it moves the needle in the direction of him not coming back, I would say. So there's a real chance that 2025 opening day, Danny Jansen isn't on the roster. I'm not advocating for that. Love Danny Jansen.
Me too.
But if that's the case, we do got to start figuring out what's next. And maybe that's part of the plan here. We're getting Varsho some catching reps. Maybe you take advantage of an opportunity when you see it and you go, hey, if Danny's out, let's throw him in for a couple games. Let's, you know, maybe he plays catcher 20 times this season.
Listen, if there is any value in any increased value that you can add to Dalton Varsho, I'm all for doing it. And listen, having a guy who can play center field to the quality that Dalton Varsho can play it, and then also being able to catch 20 games a year, like, that's some pretty solid defensive value to add to a guy who maybe has been a little disappointing at the plate. I'm not saying Dalton Varsho should be out there 60 to 80 games a year behind the plate. But I like what you're saying. A guy, just let him be that dude who steps in when Danny Jansen needs 3 weeks off to let a bone he broke heal.
Here's a wild thought. Dalton Varsho's offensive output is a bummer for a corner outfielder. For a catcher? Not that bad. I mean, we've been spoiled with, like, having a couple offensive catchers. But honestly, I'm kind of thinking, again, we don't have to get into the Juan Soto thing too much. But, like, maybe we just go throw a bunch of money at Juan Soto. Let Danny walk. And Dalton Varsho catches 60 to 100 games next year. I don't know. I do want to see Dalton Varsho catching this year. I want to see what I've never seen it. I don't tune in to Diamondback games. I don't know if he's a good catcher or a bad catcher. I have to assume he's quite good at catching, just based on him being quite good in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Having a catcher who runs like Dalton Varsho, I mean, it would definitely. Alejandro Kirk and Dalton Varsho, their numbers would even out to a average speed catcher, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is Kirk would be hitting triples that he has to stand up at two for, and Varsho would be legging out some doubles that Kirk would be staying at one for.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of seeing more Dalton Varsho behind the plate today or this year.
A little bit more on the Dalton Varsho catching scenario. One of the benefits to this is it does open up a very valuable roster spot with a crunch going on. And this does lead into our next topic really well, the Bubble Boys and the roster crunch that is going on. So I'm just going to read you the list of names. Now, just keep in mind that there are probably three spots available for the list I'm about to read you.
Okay.
So Ernie Clement. Now, Ernie, I'm bringing up first because he's having an incredible spring. He also has no options. And he is a guy who will get picked up by another team. Ernie Clement will not clear waivers. This is not a guy you can try and sneak through the waiver wire and then stash in AAA. This is a dude who is going to get picked up the second he's available. So I think Ernie has done enough in this spring and last year when they needed him to maybe be the guy on the bench.
Through 30 games last season, 52 plate appearances, a .380 batting average, and an OPS of .885. So,
27 years old. Do you have his spring numbers?
Yeah, he's hitting.
I know spring's irrelevant, but still, it matters a little, right?
So, this spring training, 30 plate appearances, two home runs, 400 batting average, OPS of .1086. Yes, it's spring training. Yes, it's a small sample size. Couple it with last year's also small sample size. But again, you're right. Like, it's enough where if we send him down, there's going to be a team that goes, there's something here. Let's take a chance on him. Mm-hmm. He's not clearing waivers, most likely. So being out of options, yeah, he's almost definitely got a spot on the 26 man, I would say.
Santiago,
and then if he struggles, then whatever, you let him go. If he goes fucking 1-for-30 to start the year,
that's the thing, right? Is then maybe you can squeak him through waivers, right? If all of a sudden he face plants. So Santiago Espinal is on the bubble. He has options. So Santi is a guy that we could, and listen, they're paying him. They're paying because he's stayed with the team for the last few years and he's into arbitration at this point. But he does have options, and they can send him down. And I think that that might be a route that this team takes because Santiago Espinal is not performing like Ernie Clement, and they are in direct competition.
Yep.
Nathan Lucas, he also has options. He also can be sent down. Daniel Vogelbach, he'll hit the open market if he doesn't make this team because someone will pick him up. He's got enough power that he's a bench bat somewhere. Joey Votto, who knows what Joey decides to do? I know we talked a little bit about it during the mailbag, and I kind of said I think Joey will give it till May 1st as a minor league player, and then if he's still not worthy of being called up, he'll reevaluate where he is, whether he'd like to hit the open market or whether he'd just like to call it quits and retire. Spencer Horowitz has options. He can be sent down. And Davis Schneider. Now, I put Davis Schneider here literally only because he does have options. So going back to the Varsho thing, right? If Dalton Varsho takes over the backup catching role for, let's say, a week or two while Danny Jansen works his way back, that does open up a spot in the outfield where you can maybe move Davis Schneider there. You can use Nathan Lucas there. And then you've got a spot on the infield open and you can care. And then you just cross your fingers because baseball has a funny way of working itself out. And that's what I was going to ask you here, Adam. Injuries are going to be a big part of this, but does it really matter who the 24, 25, and 26 man are March 28th when the season starts in Tampa?
Yeah, probably not. Almost certainly not. I mean,
because the truth is, this roster is going to morph and shift throughout the year. Do you have the 2023 opening day roster available by chance, Adam?
Yeah, 2023 Toronto Blue Jays opening day starters. We got Brandon Belt, Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, Matt Chapman, Vladdy, Kiermaier, Kirk, Manoa, Springer, and Varsho.
Do you have the 26-man roster and we can see who their 25 and 26 man was? I remember last year being a big deal. Otto Lopez didn't make the team.
Okay, you want to skip pitchers then?
Yeah, just skip pitchers. Let's just hear who some of these fielders are.
two catchers, Kirk and Jansen. Infielders, Belt, Bichette, Biggio, Chapman, Espinal, Guerrero, Merrifield. Outfielders, Kiermaier, Lukes, Springer, and Varsho.
And remember, Lukes made it, but how much time did he play in the big league level? Like, I think he had maybe 30 games last year, and he was yo-yoed up and down. And that's all my point is that guys are going to get injured. You just don't wish to lose a guy like Ernie Clement to the open market. So maybe we'll see some weird stuff where, like, and I personally believe Davis Schneider has done enough in his major league career to be given the spot at second base, that he shouldn't need to fight it out in AAA to start the season, but he has options. And so it is possible we see something funky like Davis starting March 28th in Buffalo and them going with, I'd much rather it be Espinal or something like that, but there is limited roster spots.
Nathan Lukes, between March 30th and May 30th, had 16 plate appearances. So, appeared in 19 different games, 16 plate appearances in the first 2 months of the season. So, there you go. And then was sent down.
So, what my point is, let's not worry too much about who that 26th man is, as long as we don't lose any assets to it. You know, like I'd hate to see a guy like Ernie Clement get picked up by the A's and then frickin' be Marcus Semien in 3 years. Like, yep, I'm not saying sure. Clement has that kind of power, but he's definitely a very good hitter that is proving himself at the big league level right now. So we'll see what happens, but that is one thing about Dalton Varsho maybe taking some catching reps, is that you can squeeze another guy into that opening 26 man roster.
Like it. Yeah.
Okay. Home run jacket back in the news, buddy. Try and stop this fan base from talking about the home run jacket. It cannot be done. Hazel May sat down with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. doing their kind of beginning of the season interviews they like to do. And one of the things Vladdy brought up, by the way, in English, and Vladdy's English is getting better and better every year. Outside the box prediction here, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. does the most interviews in English he's ever done, not in a season, but in 2024, the most English interviews he's done combined. Compared to all the rest of the seasons he's played, I think he does the most English interviews he's ever done. We'll see. Okay. So Hazel May sat down with him, and one of the things that he brought up was that he still, even 18 months later, misses the jacket, loves the home run jacket, loves the fun of it. And of course, a lot of people jumped on the Vladdy side of things with this, right? Who could possibly be so unfun that they would pressure Vladdy not to get the jacket and not to use it? Okay. The answer is Bo Bichette. We already know the answer is Bo Bichette. He didn't like the jacket.
Hold on. Time out. I agree with you, but also, how do we know that? Did he come out and say it? Was it reported?
Yes. Okay. He came out and said it last spring. He was just like, I don't particularly like the jacket.
More of a t-shirt with cutoff sleeves kind of guy.
That's right.
Sun's out, ponytail. Guns out.
That's right.
Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to derail the train of thought there.
No, you're not derailing. It's just, I guess my question to you and to the grounds crew is, if it's okay for Vlad to like the jacket and want to wear it, is it okay for Bo to not like the jacket and not want to wear it?
No. It's not. It's really not. I know we talked about this before we went live and I was biting my tongue because no, it's absolutely not okay. In my opinion, I don't care what we do. I really don't. I just want everybody to be on the same page through and through, like to the core, same page. I don't know. I just, it, be, it, it's a distraction otherwise to have a divided team where some guys are going to be like not putting the jacket on and some are like, I don't know. If that's the route we're going back to the jacket, we got to just talk to Bo and be like, come on, buddy, like be a team player and
yeah,
just deal with it. Like put it on, just fucking do it.
I guess I never really thought of like it being like a divisive thing. It's just like in my mind, I'm like, yeah, if a guy doesn't want to put on a home run jacket after a dinger, why should he need to? And why is everyone making a big deal about it? But maybe you're right, man. Maybe
it's going to be something weird. That gets read into too much because a guy's going to do it for April. Dalton Varsho's going to do it. And then in May, he's not going to do it. And then there's going to be articles written.
Yeah.
What's wrong in the clubhouse? Dalton Varsho not wearing the jacket anymore.
Like, yeah. Team Bo, hashtag Team Bo, hashtag to the core.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing, right? It'll be, and then there'll be the stupid, we got to cut all of this out. I hate what our comment section is going to be. Literally, I'm going to cut this piece out. So, and we're back.
I hate that we're talking about the jacket again, in all honesty.
Yep.
Because I just like, it is a talking point and it is something that Vladdy brought up. Do you think it's weird that Vladdy's still bringing up the jacket?
Because
I want to preface this with saying I'm all for the boys having fun, but why are we going back to 2022? Can't we like come up with like a
new thing,
a new ridiculous thing they do?
I guess if I'm reading the tea leaves here, which I'm not qualified to do, it feels desperate is too strong of a word, but that's the closest thing I could think of where Vladdy clearly had a bad year last year. I just think if he hit 35 to 40 home runs last year, I don't know if we're having a conversation about the jacket, but it feels like
agreed.
Maybe there's like some excuses being seeked, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, oh yeah, last year wasn't really fun. I couldn't get comfortable out there. Everything felt too tight and rigid. And I'm at my best when I'm just laid back and having fun. So I want to bring that back. Maybe he's right. He could absolutely be right. Like maybe fun Vladdy is good Vladdy. And that's what we
absolutely
need.
You want to play loose. I mean, the truth of the matter is a jacket is not going to affect home run totals in any way or form. I truly believe that. I don't think that it helped them in 2022. I don't think it hurt them in 2023. Maybe I'm wrong because psychology of the game is a big deal, but it surprised me to hear him bring it up again. I'm not even shitting on him or anything. Like my honest opinion is all the guys can do whatever they want, right? And if one guy doesn't want to wear it and one guy does, whatever. But you are right. It is kind of weird if there will be holdouts. And then if there are holdouts, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Why are we bringing it back?
I mean, I
would love to hear the grounds crew, by the way. Seriously, put your comments. What do you feel about the home run jacket? Like, is this even a thing?
You know what I really would have liked more than... Okay, I'm going to say this. I don't like that he said he wants to bring it back to Hazel May. You know, and here's why. Mm-hmm. If we had have brought it back, okay, cool. If Vladdy went to the clubhouse and was like, guys, we're bringing back the home run jacket. It's the home run jacket 2.0. We took off the countries that Lourdes and Teoscar from because they're out here. So whatever, right? Like we've bedazzled it. We've put tassels on it. We're going full Beyonce country singer mode with our jacket this year. Cool. And if that was, we just... opening day, we saw the unveil of the new jacket and it was like, oh, these guys are doing that again. That's cool. And then we could have an argument about whether it's dumb or not. But this way feels like he hasn't talked to anyone if that's the case, or he did. Mm-hmm. And people were like, no, we don't want to do that. And now he's like, kind of, you know, it's like, well, you don't have kids, but it's like when my daughter comes up to me and is like with her friend beside her and is like, hey, can Tori have a sleepover tonight? And now I have to be on the spot, the bad guy, to be like, no, because I don't like Tori. Right? Yeah. It's like, ask me in
Tori
private.
Knows this. Tori Every knows time this. She's here, I'm like, get out of my face.
Get out of my face. Quit eating all of my hot dogs. But no, just there's something about like the putting on the spot of it all, of like, why is this how we're hearing about it? He's talking to Hazel and he's saying, I would like us to have it. It just feels like, doesn't it feel like that? Like,
yeah, 100%. It's why I brought it up, because it just seemed weird.
It's a weird place to bring it up.
You know what? It's honestly kind of like dad saying no, and then you go and check with mom.
Right.
Hazel made his mom.
That's a much better analogy of what it is. Yeah, yeah. It is like, it's totally like that. It's like, yeah. Or just like, yeah, like, yeah. Or dad and mom talked. That's my Bo and Vlad analogy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's spend our vacation in Disneyland this year. And mom's like, no, we're going to Mexico again. Mexico is way better for us. And then dad goes and rallies the kids and is like,
yeah,
giving them mouse ear hats. And is like, hey, wouldn't Disneyland be so much funner than Mexico? And then the kids are all like, yeah. And then mom's like, we fucking talked about this. We said no. And now we've painted mom to be the bad guy. So like,
exactly.
That's where we're at.
Mom goes to Hazel Bay and is like, we always wanted to go to Mexico.
Right. Oh my God. It's dumb.
This is why you're all here, right? For our Cracker Jack analogies.
It took us 32 minutes to evict the casuals from the audience.
Yeah.
But we've done it.
That's right.
No, it's honestly, I think the more I think about it, the like, should we have it or not conversation is, I think, yeah, and the who's wearing it and who's not, and is the locker room divided? It's such a not good conversation to have, like from a we're all Blue Jays to the core, hashtag to the core. Some of us wear the jacket, some of us don't, but we're all Blue Jays to the core. That hashtag's too long, but that was their first stab at it.
Doesn't make us a Blue Jay. Our core does. Right.
Superman becomes Superman when he takes the jacket off. No, the more I think about it, it's eating at me that he
brought it up.
Just announce it in that way of like, I want to do it. Nobody else wants. I know he didn't say nobody else wants to, but that's
what it feels like.
That's the subtext of it, is like, yeah, okay, well, Vladdy wants this thing, and if Vladdy just wanted it and there wasn't pushback, wouldn't we just have it? Like, wouldn't...
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this
and everyone,
is a... Sorry, maybe this is a language thing.
Say this.
Maybe this is a language thing. It's like... So maybe it's not fair to, like, totally hammer him to the words that he used.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was intended to be more of a, hey, I wanted to do a jacket again, so we're doing a jacket again. And I'm announcing it to everybody. Hey, we're bringing the jacket back. And maybe through translation and English as a second language, it came out as, I would like to have it back. Can we please bring it back? I want to have fun this year. You know, that's going to be my generous interpretation, is that language.
It seems to have really stirred the hornet's nest, the fun hornet nest too, because like now that's like the big, and I don't know if that's the issue with the jacket. I don't think it's like people wanting to have fun versus people not wanting to have fun. Like, it's just more, or to me anyways, it's like, this is what they were doing in 2022, 2021. It's 2024. There's a bunch of new guys. I don't understand why you want to take, like, just do a new thing. Yeah. Like if it's a fun thing you're worried about and you want to bond the team through fun, then come up with something. Why does it need to be the jacket? Why are we going backwards? Yeah, and also, who cares?
Hashtag back to the core.
Yeah, back to the core.
Back to the core 3, where they're in like old Western days, is the worst back to the core.
It is the worst back to the core.
If Mustard Tiger doesn't get that reference, I'm going to strangle him. All right. Well, where we're going, we don't need rails. So we're off the rails. All right. Here's the thing with the jacket. Yeah, it's what if we compromised and we said jacket in parentheses, there's a time and a place. Down by more than three runs, no jacket. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what was missing from the jacket and the fun. Rules.
You're having fun wrong.
This is how you do it.
Guys are going over to like the spreadsheet on the wall. They're like looking, okay, H7, jackets to go. We're good for jacket. Yeah. Get the jacket ready. You're right. Rules is not a good idea, but something, man. That's what was, I think, driving people nuts about the jacket. Was never like, we're beating the Yankees 6-2 and we hit a home run. Yeah, bring the jacket out. I'm fucking there for that. But
rub it in their face.
Rub it in their face.
But if we're losing 11-2,
it does get a little dumb when we're on like a 6-game losing streak. We're losing 7-0. And then Teoscar hits a home run that doesn't matter. And we're like, yeah, sunflower seed shower and get the jacket on and take the picture. Like, that's, I think, I don't mean to speak for everyone, but I'm going to speak for everyone. That was the worst part of the jacket.
It reminds me of the scene from Moneyball when Billy Bean is going into the clubhouse after they just lost. And they're all dancing on the table there. And he takes the baseball bat and smashes the music, right? And he's like, is losing fun?
Yeah.
They're like, no. And he's like, then why are you having fun? Right? So there is a little bit of that, right? I mean, I know it's professional baseball and winning matters. Have fun all you want when you're winning.
Yeah.
Was that old? Did I just come across like an old man there?
I agree with you. But also, I know the pushback on that is that when you're losing, mm-hmm. you need the fun more than ever.
Yes.
Right? Like, the fun helps get you out of the funk of losing, I think, right? Like, losing and being depressed isn't a recipe for ending a losing streak, right?
No.
So, I don't know.
Okay, well, we have literally gotten nowhere on this. I don't feel like there is a resolution that we have come to here, but please fill the comments up. What do you folks think? Again, and this isn't jacket or no jacket. Like, honestly, I think this whole talk has been, this was weird.
This was weird, yeah.
This was weird. Weird thing to say.
I think I'm with you, though. Celebration of some sort doesn't need to be the jacket, though.
Yeah.
Also, I think we could expand it beyond home runs. Like, I think a guy makes, like, a nice diving catch, you know, mm-hmm. like fucking ranges into foul territory and pulls one out of the crowd kind of a thing. Give him the fucking jacket. Like, let's celebrate all the moments.
Sure.
Right?
It's like when they started putting the jacket on pitchers.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, let's start rewarding. It's a good performance jacket, but not a jacket, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. A helmet. Yeah.
A helmet. Yeah. You make a nice diving catch when we're down 11-0. Here's your highlight helmet. There you go.
There you go. All okay. Right. We'll move on now that we've had a good long home run jacket talk.
Yep.
Bowden Francis, buddy. Francis Bowden. The man, the legend. Honestly, dude, this is a pretty impressive stretch for the young man. Not even that young, 27 now. He was the prospect that came over when they moved Rowdy Tellez to the Brewers for Trevor Richards. He's really kind of come into his own here. Last year, I know he was really showed himself as a contributor to this pitching staff. He's got four pitches, a really nasty curveball. I know I was sitting out in outfield in at TD Ballpark there, and everyone's sitting around me when Bowden Francis came out. He had some hooks that, like, literally from 400 feet in dead center were making us go, oh, like, nasty. Like, he has got a heck of a curveball on him. He went six innings yesterday, which is huge for a guy who length was never really something that he showed us last year. He was much more of a swing man, relief pitcher type of guy. So he's going to get plenty of opportunity to start this year, especially with Alek Manoah, who is now our next topic, but we're just going to bleed it all into one because it just fits so well here. Alek Manoah is still not pitching. He's still dealing with shoulder soreness.
Cranky shoulder, I think he called it.
Cranky. He's got a cranky shoulder. Yes. Cranky to the core.
Yeah, Alek Manoah.
At this point,
not an
Francis
day
is our fifth starter, roster. Right? Like, what do you think, so. Adam? At yeah, this point, I'd, right? To start I'd the have season? To
agree. I mean, Manoah has just the one start in spring training. Is that correct still? Or did he get a second one?
Nope. One start, 1.1 innings, three hits batsman, a walk.
So, performance aside, even if the first outing was like, oh, Manoah's back, baby, but he has a cranky shoulder, I just think the runway to get him warmed up and lengthened doesn't exist to get him back in time for the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're, what, less Agreed. Than 2 weeks away from...
We're less than 2 weeks away at day, this so. Point. So he's going to need to start in AAA and build himself up. I think Alek Manoah will get a genuine shot here, but it's definitely going to depend on injuries at this point. I mean, if Bowden Franson continues to pitch as he has pitched, there's no reason to send him to AAA. Alek Manoah can be the depth until Alek Manoah proves that he deserves a shot.
Here's a scenario for you. Francis Bowden pitches well. 4-ish ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Alek Manoah pitching very well in AAA. How long do you let that play out?
I think baseball will look after it. I mean, I don't
mean?
Think we're going... I just don't think that this pitching staff is going to see its health replicated look, okay. from last
I know,
year.
But this is the tough spot that I'm... This is why it's a
okay,
fun question.
If
everyone's healthy. Gary Gossman's back. Francis Bowden is pitching like a really competent fifth starter, like a 4-ish ERA. Nobody else
it.
Is struggling, but Manoah
don't
is
touch it.
Looking fucking epic in the minors.
Don't touch it. Let don't him continue. Let him... Let him literally destroy AAA hitters. Let him,
and
frick, man. Let him pitch till July. You can't tell me there's not going to be a spot for him at some point.
That's,
but
what,
yeah,
that's literally the context of this argument is how much do we say, I don't fucking care about our relationship with Alek Manoah.
Okay, well, if that's
he,
the
like,
case then, and...
The so, version of this is where he, like, he's pitching so well that he feels like, my numbers are undeniable. Why are they still denying me? That's the content. That's where I'm like, I know it's unlikely to happen, right? Because of course there's going to be bad tacos. A guy's going to get a blister or worse. There's going to be an opportunity. I'm just saying, if not, because that's a chance.
Okay.
How do we handle
it
where he's pitching so well, where he's like, why the fuck haven't they brought me back up yet? This is bullshit. Because we're already kind of starting from that attitude, right? That was the whole narrative off season. I shouldn't be in AAA. This is bullshit. So how long do we let that narrative bring itself back through the first couple months of the season? Like, if he's fucking dealing the way he did his rookie season, where we're like, okay, well, we've got to bring up Alek Manoah because he's fucking way too good to be in AAA. And yes, and we had a need. But if he's pitching that well.
This just got me excited, man. I'm like, that's amazing. Let Alek Manoah rebuild his value. And then at the deadline, if he's got a cranky attitude still, then move him, trade him. I just think if the staff is dealing, you don't fuck with it. I don't care what is happening in AAA. Grounds crew, what do you think?
I don't disagree with you, Scott. I just also, it makes me uncomfortable thinking that.
I think a much more likely scenario is the service time manipulation of Ricky Tiedemann is finished at the end of April, and he's dealing, and they need a spot for Ricky.
That's probably, yeah, more likely. Yeah, you're right. All right. Oh, how's that going to... Hold on. How's that... Who's... If Ricky and Manoah are both showing similar numbers in Buffalo, and then we have Yusei Kikuchi implodes, or whatever, right? We have a spot. Someone got blisters. We need a guy to start. Who are we calling up? Alec Manoah or Ricky Tiedemann? If they're showing comparable numbers in AAA.
The Ghostbusters theme just started playing in my head when you
who
said,
you gonna call?
Who are you going to call? Great. Ricky Tiedemann. I don't know, dude. These are all questions that I would be shocked if they had to deal with. But in this scenario, I really do believe Ricky Tiedemann is above Alec Manoah on the depth charts at this point.
Man, would that ever
now,
fucking go
now,
over well?
Now, here's...
I say with
here's,
full sarcasm.
Here's where I think the team may go the other way, though, because if they're both dealing, then the Blue Jays can continue to not start the service time clock on Ricky Tiedemann. Push. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is only 21, right? If Alec Manoah is literally dealing and you need to bring a guy up, well, why start the clock, right? Especially when you've got a guy who is you're trying to rebuild his value as it is. I honestly believe, man, Alec Manoah would already be in a different uniform if he was worth anything right now.
Yeah. I do agree with you. If the franchise was in a different state than it is,
mm-hmm.
but we're in kind of like shit or get off the pot mode.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We got like real tough decisions to make this off season with the contracts of the big two, throw Danny into the mix too. Ross Atkins like doesn't really have time to play the service time manipulation game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's kind of at a point where if Tiedemann can help us win, fuck it. Let's bring him up because the benefits of manipulating his service time, because of where we're at in the tenure of Ross Atkins, I don't think that's a benefit that he is going to reap the rewards
reap himself.
From.
Yes.
7 years from now, we better have a ring or two, or at least some real deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
If we're talking, oh, thank God we manipulated another year out of Ricky Tiedemann 7 years
time,
ago.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I'm kind of like, well, if they're both like good, like, yeah, probably go with Tiedemann if he's the edge because he's also a lefty. Lefty would be helpful, right? Because mm-hmm. we have just Kikuchi.
Kikuchi
is our lefty yep. starter now that yep. Ryu's gone. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a tough, whew, way over
going to
my
be
pay grade, but it's gonna. There's going to be some real interesting questions that I think if you're paying close attention, if you're watching casually, you might be like, oh, cool, we called up Ricky. Or, oh, we called mm-hmm. up Manoah. Cool. But, like, I think there's a lot of real tough backroom conversations going on behind any of these decisions that are going to be made this year. And I'm excited to see it.
I couldn't agree more. It's going to be very interesting. Okay, let's end on this. We'll talk the spring breakup future showcase, which is going on right now. It started yesterday. For the next 4 days, MLB has organized it so that the top prospects in baseball will be playing each other. All the buzz yesterday was Pittsburgh Pirates, top pitching prospect in baseball. Paul Skeens wound up going head to head against the top hitting prospect in baseball, Baltimore Orioles, Jackson Holliday, in the couple of matchups they had. Skeens got him both times, struck him out once. Skeens struck him out in his first at bat. Listen, this Paul Skeens, like, the hype on him has been so huge. And dude, watching his highlights, I'm like, oh, that's why. Wow. Like, literally every pitch he threw was over triple digits. Every pitch he threw was in the 100-mile-an-hour class. He was ripping through hitters. His first strikeout came on 101.7 miles an hour. And he threw three of them in a row just to get the first guy. Like, this kid is going to be something special. And it's pretty cool that Major League Baseball has aligned it so that we can see some of these kids that we keep getting hype about. Like, that's the thing, right? Is we're all fans of our team, right? Like, everyone watching right now, for the most part, my guess is you're Blue Jays fans. We're part of the Blue Jays fan nation. And how often are we going to be paying attention to the guys who are doing impressive stuff in Double-A in the Pittsburgh Pirates system? I mean, I'm not saying they're not out there, right? Nene takes, right? We're looking at you, but like, it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare to be so plugged in to baseball that not only are you plugged into all 30 teams, you're plugged into their farm system. Great idea by MLB to put these top prospects on display. And you know what? Some very impressive representation from Canada at this year's showcase. Four Toronto Blue Jays. So these are the four Canadians from the Blue Jays that are involved. Adam Macko, Damiano Parmigiani, friend of the show, Sam Shaw, and Desaun Brown. And then we've also got Miles Naylor from the Oakland Athletics. Miles, of course, the brother of the Naylor boys, Bo, and yes, Josh? Thank you, Josh Naylor. Yes, the one who rocks. Remember rocking the baby? Yeah.
But he never wore a jacket.
And he never wore a jacket. From Texas, Mitch Bratt. You got Kelvin Ziegler from the New York Mets system. Wesley Moore from the Philadelphia Phillies. You got Tyler Black from the Milwaukee Brewers. Owen Cassie from the Chicago Cubs. Eric Cullen. Sarantola, there you go, from the Kansas City Royals. And David Calabrese from the Los Angeles Angels. So a pretty good representation from Canada there. That's the most Canadians that have participated in any sort of prospect showcase before. And this is really the first year that they've done this little tournament throughout a weekend here. So anyways, just wanted to touch on that. That's how we'll close things out. But good for some Canadian boys.
It is hard to be excited, though. I just mean, like, I'm glad baseball's trying stuff like this.
Yeah,
man, it's tough to get, like, other than the guys like Paul Skeens, and
yeah,
it's so tough to get excited, like Royce Lewis. It's tough to get excited about a guy who is so far away from doing anything.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, sweet, Desaun Brown.
Hopefully he's in Double-A this year.
In 4 years, like, yeah. It's tough. It's a tough spot to be in, but yeah, I don't know. It's good, I guess. It's good. I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic here because I am glad baseball is trying stuff.
Yes. I did hear.
I was watching Nothing Personal, David Sampson, this morning. He was talking about it. He's also sheepish on it. He did mention that, I think, youth baseball signups were up 16% this year, and softball signups for girls was up 6%. So youth taking up the game, trending in the right direction. So that's a good sign, I think.
So very much so.
Let's get those personalities on TikTok and whatever we can, because
keep pushing that game. All right, Grounds Crew, thank you so much for watching and sticking with us. Obviously, post your comments below. We'll get to them in mailbag if we can, at Walk Off Podcast, if you wish to shoot us a DM on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it. Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast, and yeah, that's everything.
So,
nailed it.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Also, tip of the hat to the Patreon. Always appreciate you guys. Yeah, and you guys just one last push for Cape Bretoners to come out to Breton Brewing next Saturday, March 23rd. Get your Cape Breton friends out there, folks. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves. Cheers.
Cheers.